This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
Alongside you and I, we were just talking with Dallin off air, Dallin Cuff about to join us, about betting some of these draws in the World Cup. Joe Pita and I were texting back and forth yesterday. Is there any, I don't know how I would phrase this, but in sports betting, is there anything harder to live through than a draw bet, or specifically in his case yesterday, I think he had a nil-nil bet, to try to go 90 plus minutes, only to have, who was it that scored last night late?
It was the
second to last game yesterday, second to last match yesterday. It was nil-nil for like 90 minutes. And then all of a sudden,
Ecuador and Ivory Coast,
that's
right?
That's right. Ivory Coast scored with the 90th minute or 88th minute or something like that. And so that, you know, you go 90 minutes, that was a lot of work to lose on something like that. But it has been a tremendous start to this tournament, and specifically for the USA, it was fantastic. We didn't get a chance to talk about
it. Yeah, man.
But Dallin is here now. Dallin Cuff joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Dallin Cuff, D-A-L-E-N-C-U-F-F from Turner Sports. Dallin, I start, first of all, good morning to you, sir, and I start with you with this just very simple question, talking about the USA. Are we actually good?
First of all, boys, we got the shirt on here. If you can get the
there we go.
That's from way back in the day. I think I pulled that out of my closet about 10, 12 years ago. No, I mean, here's the thing. We talked about this last week. The hope of this group was they are more individually talented than any team we've ever had. We've never had guys playing and excelling at Juventus and AC Milan, and we had, obviously, Dest at Barcelona, Robinson's at Fulham. You can go down the list, playing all over the world and playing at high levels, Champions League levels. We've never had that. But we also have not seen this group ever put it together. Mauricio Pochettino just came into the job two Septembers ago. He didn't have any competitive games because you don't have qualifiers. In the friendly game, especially early, they didn't look good. They didn't look like they were really fighting for each other. What we saw there tonight was, it was remarkable. And the fact that all that offensive talent was on display together, playing together, but also in terms of like just the tactical piece of it to keep it high level, the energy by which they play with and counter press. So anytime they lost the ball, their ability to retain possession or take that possession back in dangerous spots was truly awe-inspiring, honestly. It was like, I've not seen a U.S. team play like that and execute like that defensively and offensively and collectively ever for that 45 minutes, especially in the first half. Now, Pulisic coming out the halftime, he did take a rough tackle, knew that game was going to get ugly. I was fine with him coming out of that game. He should be fine. I hope he's fine. We'll find out on Friday or before Friday, but hopefully he's good to go. But that was, we are individually talented. Collectively, how good we are, wait and see. Paraguay, it's a World Cup game, guys. So enjoy the win if you're an American fan. We'll see what happens next. I think they're favored pretty significantly against Australia. And I've said to you guys last week, the goal for this group is they get to the quarterfinals, that will help change soccer going forward. If they crapped out in the group, that would kill, not kill, but it would seriously hinder American soccer. That is out. And now with just a 4-1 result, it's galvanized a lot of average fans to be on board. And that's what you want. Come on in. The water's warm. Us soccer fans, once you just come on in, let's hang out for the next couple of weeks.
4-1, USA beats Paraguay. We were talking about off-air. Paraguay had actually beaten some really good sides before this. So the notion that, oh, we just beat Paraguay, that's actually not correct. They are capable of beating good teams.
Yeah, and again, it's the World Cup. Anything, we just saw Swiss try Qatar. Like, you never know what's going to happen in these games. Like, it doesn't make a difference. A good performance is a good performance, and a dominating performance, to your point, over a team that did qualify here in a South American group that's tough. They only allowed 10 goals all through qualifying. We just scored 4 the other day. Like, that says something about the group. Yes, it is not the world beaters. They're the 48th ranked team in the world. But like I said, enjoy the win. Prospects are high, and I think that first game just getting – I mean, the ticket price, I heard, went up about $500, the average ticket price in Seattle, just because of that result. Man. So it got people juiced up again.
Yeah.
We just need, I think, that those kids, the team fed off, they didn't buckle under the pressure, they fed off the environment, and they meant the moment. And I didn't think or know that they would, and I was really just pleasantly surprised.
Well, Friday night, you will be there, if I'm not mistaken. It is USA versus Australia, and Australia beat Turkey, by the way, not Turkey anymore, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Turkey.
Yeah, that's right.
Beat him 2-0. And so it is Australia versus the United States in the second game of the Group D stage. What are you doing betting-wise on this?
hey, I can't believe this is the game that's going to decide the group. Yeah. Like I told you guys last week, I did like Turkey to win the group, but now that seems really highly unlikely that they're going to win it, especially the two-goal difference, a negative two-goal goal difference for that side. I think the last game of the group will be great between us and Turkey. That said, Australia is still a defensively stout team. That's how they're going to play. They're good in set pieces. They're good in the air. They're physical. They will play together. They're kind of like what America had always been in World Cups from, you know, 90 to 94 to 98. That's kind of how they play currently. They have a lack of offensive explosion, if you will. I'm leaning towards the under here. I am waiting to hear more about where's Pulisic at and is everybody seems healthy. I think it's all good from a physical standpoint. But I think we're going to see a little bit more of a regression to the mean. Australia, a better organized team, a team that will be defending better, that has an understanding now of how the U.S. is going to play. That's the first really 90 minutes of game tape. You really understood how this U.S. team really could play with the starters out there. Because even in the warm-up games, they didn't run that same group out there. So I think they might be built better organized. I think the under 2.5 is probably your best value right now. There's probably a proper 2 in terms of any time goal scorer. Weston McKennie, then you get him in a plus 320, 330 number right now. Something to look at as well. Because again, set pieces may factor. He was outstanding the other day, but he also is really good at scoring goals at big times, particularly on set pieces. So it's something to take a look at as we move through the week here.
All right, we have a quadruple header today. It's so great. It starts
awesome.
At the top of the hour. Groups G and H in action today.
It's like the NCAA tournament. So much to bet on every day.
So
it's great. Just never stops.
Celtics, Lakers, Yankees, Red Sox, Spain, Cape Verde. Spain is a huge favorite here. How are you going to play this? Is this going to be like Germany just blowing out Curacao yesterday?
I think so. And this is the difference with this 48-team World Cup is there's going to be a number of group stage games that are just complete mismatches. And Curacao, bear in mind, the guy that scored the goal, he was elated after the game because he scored a goal in a World Cup game and never thought it would happen. So this is the mindset you have of some of these teams. Honestly, just being there is a huge deal. I mean, it's this country of 150,000 people. Cape Verde is like 400,000 people. It's the same situation, I think. Spain, I think, is a better team than Germany. They will control the ball and control the game. Exclusively. So if you're looking at the over-under, the one piece of value I can give you is the over-under is 3.5 right now. The over is minus 130, 135 different places. That there's obviously you're pretty juicy there. If you just go with Spain over 3.5 goals, which is their number, you're now in plus money. It's plus 110, plus 115 in different books. So that would be my thought there is I'm going to play Spain over 3.5 goals. I think they do blow them out, but the value is just on Spain. I don't think Cape Verde is contributing to anything. Obviously, Curacao did. I don't think Cape Verde does that. So if you're looking at something, there's some value I think I can find in a game where there is minimal, to say the least.
I like that. So over it, rather than play the spread at minus 2.5 and worry about once I just go with the over 3.5, get plus money on Spain in the first one. That is followed by a Group G game between Egypt and Belgium. You got some prop bets here you'd like to play.
Yeah, Jeremy Doku, for anybody that watches the Premier League, he's a Manchester City player. There's no guy in the world that I'm more concerned with the ball at his feet if you're the opposing team. He's a dynamic wing player that is attacking nonstop. He can score, but he also is really effective in terms of creating goals for his team. Now, Egypt is a team that is stout defensively. So it's going to be, I think, a tighter game. But that guy, I think, can produce a moment of magic in this game and either score or assist on the goal. So I think that's about plus 155 for him anytime, goal or assist. For Jeremy Doku.
Okay. Looking forward to that. And then the other two games today you're steering clear of, you want any part of those?
To Kelly's point, we are trying to pace ourselves. I did send you guys my futures list, which is about 30 things deep. So we are working through what we think is valuable per day and looking ahead a little bit too. I was looking at France already and I was looking at some other games through the course of the week, just trying to balance myself out here and see what's going on. One thing I will tell you though too, and we talk about this a bit off air, the hydration breaks, I think, are affecting the game. We're seeing teams score or momentum changes coming out of the hydration break. So live bet, I don't tend to live bet a lot of soccer games in the first 25 minutes. It's usually like, let's see where more time elapses or if I think a team is going to come back or you see some value in the course of a game. But the hydration breaks, I think, are affecting how the momentum of the game plays. And we've seen a number of goals scored right out of that. So I would be aware of that and see if the team that's the underdog is playing really well. That timeout and kind of reset has helped some of the favorites, I feel like, kind of right the ship.
Are you pro hydration breaks, though, in general? You feel it is needed, though?
This is stupid. No, we have rules for this. When it's hot, you put them in. That's why they are hydration breaks. Otherwise, they're just commercial breaks. And now we have FIFA's mandated for all 104 games, we will have these breaks. And I do not like it. We have games that are in 90 degrees out in Santa Clara. deal. That's part of the deal. Like, it's like there's a calculation between the temperature and the humidity, usually in the wet globe bulb has to be above 86.8 or what I think that's the number. When that doesn't exist, we just play. When it exists, you call a timeout and you can have a drink. This is the problem here. When you do it across the board, you are giving advantage, I think, honestly, to some of the better teams to basically call a timeout and reset your tactics based on what's going on and we kind of configure your team. The one part of soccer that's unique is once the coaches put you out there, you're out there and the players have to figure it out live for those 45 to 50 minutes. Now you got a change in pace and a change in the game. I am not a fan at all when you don't, when the weather does not require it.
Yeah, this is it's not the same thing, but it leaps to mind that the tennis change with coaching, right? Where you were never allowed to have coaching. The player had to figure it out for himself or herself. And now just the sign of the times, it's like, no, we're just going to let coaching happen now. And some people like it, some people don't. Because we were talking a little bit this off air. You actually gave me some insight to this. I didn't know that this had happened. And for those who may be interested in this, Thierry Henry was railing against the fact that, you know, the part of the beauty of this beautiful game, what he calls the beautiful game, what everybody calls soccer, the beautiful game globally, is that, you know, there is no American commercialism with broadcast breaks. And he is super frustrated by it. But an incident occurred early that made this happen, you think?
Well, no, the problem was in the first game, Fox kind of missed the red card. Like they were at break while one of these things happened. You kind of drop back in a huge moment in the game. And that's why you can't have this thing going on. But it is. It's just this is what's going to go on. And Fox is making their money off it, and that's what the deal is. How about this? Telemundo's not taking the break, though. Telemundo stays on site.
Wow.
And with normal hydration breaks, normally you catch the players, you get a glimpse of this, you get some live sound. They're not leaving. The rest of the world is taking their commercial break, as Fox is, and is getting their money. But unfortunately, we got to make sure we don't miss any action, which we already did. And that literally cannot happen.
Dallin, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you many times during this great tournament. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before we're on air, there's a little show we like to call By the Books with Dave Ross, Captain America, and Jensen Lewis. They break down the MLB slate every single day. They call it the Daily Diamond, and it's in podcast form, the VSiN Daily Diamond, breaking down the slate one game at a time. Jensen and Dave do a great job on that. Available on your favorite podcast platform. Check it out daily from those two. We get tweets beating the book. Tim Bowers, although I was able to take advantage of betting the Spurs first quarter and then Knicks money line once down big, I kept thinking I ought to have placed a higher wager. I feel like there's a good betting podcast title in there somewhere. Tim, you did great. If you were hitting Spurs first quarter and then playing the Knicks in game, man, try not to lament.
You had a hell of a finals.
Yeah, even though you perhaps should have bet more in your mind, you did great.
Chris, every first quarter, that's crazy, man.
Folks reacting to Greg Peterson, Chris Heath. Greg, if you're ever in Oakland, there's this new hip spot. That's a hip spot, Kelly. That's martinis and hot dogs. For some reason, it's an algorithm for 35 to 45-year-olds finding dates.
Yeah, that sure sounds like it. Sure sounds like it.
Oakland's got a spot called martinis and hot dogs, really?
I was enjoying the Portland comment.
Oh, that's coming up. Scott, New York Mets 16, talking to Greg. He says the best things are found when you're not looking. You know what? That's great advice also. It really is for much in life. Chance Copperpot, if Greg comes back to Portland, as he indicated he might, he is welcome to hit me up. We can go out on the town and, as they say, keep Portland weird.
There you go. Yeah, you got Chance there, man. Chance would be a great wingman for you, Greg. Get up there.
Portlandia. Leisure Suit Kobe, please share this public service announcement. I was happy to find out yesterday Poly Market works here in Vancouver. Not only here, but all of Canada, with the exception of Ontario. We use the main offshores as big box sportsbooks availability is a toss-up. Isn't there a VSiN code? Isn't the code VSiN that we have running? Still got that going?
Buzz.
Buzz. Pardon me. Buzz is the VSiN code. Thank you, Danny. Buzz. B-U-Z-Z. Colin Murphy, totally agree on the Charlotte airport, Gil. There have been many times that I've found myself running through that airport to get to my gate on time. The one time I had time to spare, I sat down at the bar next to Dontrell Willis and drank with him. There you go. With the D-Train.
That's awesome.
Not James D-Train Williams, but Dontrell Willis D-Train. No, I'm serious. I seriously was OJ sprinting through airports. And again, the one on this direction, spin moves, swim moves.
Yeah, I've had a couple runs through there.
I had to fake out somebody. I did left, right, left, got past them. It was a whole thing. Jeff Kuykendall. Ben Shelton is the Jessica Pegula on the men's side, he says. They'll win as long as they don't play anyone better than them. Yeah, I can't really argue with that, Jeff. KJ at Dr. Actor KJ. Yes, Taylor is quite the poker fan. Oh, he showed me a screenshot. American professional tennis player Taylor Fritz has made notable appearances on the Celebrity Poker Tour.
There you go.
I did not know that. And the numbers guy says, is Donna Vekic worth a flyer at 80-1? You know, it's an interesting question. Donna Vekic beats Emma Raducanu yesterday to win a grass court tournament in London. Vekic is my... I've said this before about her. Vekic is my, what was my man who pitched in Major League? My Irvin Santana.
Mm.
Whenever I used to bet on Irvin Santana in baseball, he would just be a gas can. Whenever I would fade him, he would be Cy Young. The numbers never worked out for Irvin Santana. That's Donna Vekic for me. Her numbers never are commensurate with how good she's capable of playing. So yeah. I wouldn't take the 80-1 on her, but I understand your point.
Feels like a little bit since I've heard you say her name.
Donna Vekic?
Yeah.
She is lovely.
The Michael Burns tweeted at me too. He goes, I had Huevos Rancheros in that spot at Charlie Airport. You are correct, it was money. And it's funny he says it. So like money. One time it was a red eye. I had a red eye into Charlotte. I had a connection. I think I had like 3 hours to burn. So all I remember is ending up at this Mexican restaurant having a great meal and like probably a couple early cervezas. And it was the opening Saturday of a college football season, because I remember that North Carolina, South Carolina matchup they used to do. I was watching that. All I remember is the next time I was at that airport, Gil, I made sure to seek out that restaurant because I remember being that good. And no, I don't remember the name of it.
I wish we could take him back to the brain space when you're sprinting through there. Because we are landing and we're going to pull up to gate E, whatever. And I look at my thing. I'm like, I got to get to C. Right.
Right.
And it's like, so you're following the signs. You're like, well, C can't be that far.
Can't be that far.
It's like, D, that direction. D's. Well, God, where is it?
Two trams and a 3 mile run later. Yeah.
No trams. Just legwork. That, you know what I like about that story, though? That he used the term money. It was money.
It was money.
We got to bring that back.
It was money.
It was money.
I agree.
I alluded to this earlier when Greg was on Talking Baseball. This is the June most wins update for those scoring at home. Marlins are 10-2.
Let's go, Fish.
Because everybody had them, right? That's, by the way, that's the only thing that's going to make me feel better about the Cubs sucking, is that if a team like the Marlins wins it, I'll just be like,
no shot anyways.
Phillies and Brewers, 8-4, 8-5, right behind them, or not right behind them, but two wins behind them. Remember, at Circa, there are tiebreakers, fewest losses, followed by best run differential. At William Hill Caesars, it's a dead heat if they tie. Tigers, Yankees are 7-4, and then it's Cardinals, Rangers, Athletics, all at 7-5, Dodgers, Royals at 7-6. The Cubbies are, 5-7, I believe? Yeah, not good. Not good. And this is the easy part of their schedule. Like, this was the part of the schedule that I needed them to crush on. Not good. Not good. College World Series. Well, hotty toddy, goodbye.
See ya.
See ya. Bracket one thus far in the College World Series. West Virginia beat Troy, and North Carolina beat Ole Miss, which meant that Troy and Ole Miss were going to play an elimination game, and Troy beats Ole Miss 12-8. So goodbye, Ole Miss. And all that had long futures on them. North Carolina beat West Virginia. So now North Carolina, Kelly, awaits the winner of West Virginia-Troy. The loser of West Virginia-Troy will be Dunzo also, because this is double elimination at this point. And so Carolina awaits that winner. And if Carolina wins that first game, they will be in the best of three final in the College World Series. North Carolina still would have to be beaten twice on that side of things. So today, though, it's on the other side of the bracket because Oklahoma blanked Alabama 9-0. Georgia crushed Texas 7-1. So Alabama and Texas are in an elimination game today, followed by the Oklahoma-Georgia game. the loser of which will then find themselves in an elimination game against the winner of Alabama, Texas.
Great job.
Bingo, bango. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Georgia, okay, Georgia, Oklahoma today, right? Is that what you just said?
Correct. Yes.
Now I'm screwing it up. You just did a great breakdown, and I'm screwing you up.
Yeah.
Georgia, Oklahoma, both zero losses, still,
correct.
Right?
Okay. Correct. Yes. Georgia, Oklahoma, not an elimination game, winner of which will be in the catbird seed like North Carolina is
right.
on the top side of the bracket. But the loser of Oklahoma, Georgia, will take on the winner of Alabama, Texas. The loser of Alabama, Texas is gone.
Way too early takeaways is this. It feels like since the Super Regionals, it's Georgia or UNC. That's what it feels
the
like.
The chalk has risen.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Troy, right? Troy's like, look at us, though. Troy, by the way, if you believe in Troy, they're 80-1. Is that can't be right. Still 80-1? Yes? Well, they are.
Well, they got a loss, right?
They are facing an elimination game, so maybe it is right. These are the remaining seven. Ole Miss is the one bounced. We will have it down to six here by midday. But yes, you're right. As in terms of who we discussed with Matt Grissom and anybody else we talked to about College World Series, well, his one-word answer was Georgia, right, Matt Grissom, mm-hmm. when I said, who's winning this all? But North Carolina, he didn't believe in UCLA. North Carolina was always the sort of sneaky one also at the top. So the chalk, with the exception of really Troy, well, I mean, there's other exceptions in there, but the big chalk is still there, North Carolina and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we stand.
Yeah, it feels like those two have separated. Then, yeah, you've got Oklahoma, Texas, West Virginia, that rightfully so, that next step down.
One more thing that we skipped over earlier we wanted to get to when we were talking NBA is, hey, let's take a look at NBA MVP just for giggles for next year. This is the other thing that, you know, when you lose a 19-1 on the Spurs, when you lose long shot MVP tickets on a guy like Wembanyama and they don't get home, guess what, party people? We're never seeing those numbers ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Ever again. Wembanyama 2-1 to win MVP. Nikola Jokic 4-1, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander 4-1, the usual suspects. There's Luka. His name is Luka. Plus 650. Your guy Giannis, still with the Bucks logo at 14-1. Anything long shotty appeal to you there?
No.
There you go.
No, you said it perfectly. Not only are we not seeing these numbers again, I think MVP before the season is going to be extremely difficult to bet here for the next several years. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think what you're, if you're watching at home, these odds are going to be very similar year to year here. We'll see how Luka Doncic and Giannis maybe move up and down here. But yeah, I think it's probably going to be those five guys, Gil.
That's the sadness of it all from a betting standpoint, because it could be so dominant with OKC and the Spurs. And I know the Knicks just won. I know, yes, what do you mean? The Knicks just won. It could happen again. What the Knicks did is so off the charts unbelievable that you just might have to file it away. Only time will tell as its own thing.
The best I can say here, Gil, is the sixth guy. It's very hard to believe it's not Wemby, Jokic, or SGA. It's really hard to believe it's not Giannis or Luka. After that, Cade Cunningham is the only other name I would include.
Knicks fans are like, Jalen Brunson is 50-1?
Yeah.
Just
he's great.
Just letting you know what his odds are. I love Jalen Brunson, by the way. You know, his wife's a doctor, by the way. Coming back with Wes Reynolds.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, it's our friend over at Just Win Bets, baby.
Get it!
Check them out. Got themselves a little podcast, 20 Leagues, One Mission. Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code on your screen or just visit justwinbetsbaby.com today. Start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. JustWinBetsBaby.com as well, by the way. Picks in English and Spanish. We always love that little bullet point.
See?
So they're like,
gusto mucho.
The Cowboys. Los Gauchos. In both ways, I guess. I don't know. You have to tune in to find out. We get tweets beating the book. Y'all are the best. Have I mentioned that? Gordon Dye. I messaged Greg. Portland might not be the best place to find that special one. Been married and divorced 3 times up here. Yes, Portland is weird. Wow, 3 times. Okay. Trip Tepper has some advice for Greg.
Okay, Gil says. Danny, you gonna go for four? I guess that's the question. So once you've hit three,
here's my philosophy on this. Once you do it once, I don't really understand the two.
That's kind of my philosophy too.
Trip Tepper, dating advice for Greg P. I don't know, maybe he's a romantic. Yeah. I don't know. Dating advice for Greg Peterson. Trip Tepper says, one, no haircuts for 4 months. Wow. You think that's going to change things? Yeah. Two, go to a salon and let the stylist cut/style your hair.
Mm.
Wow. Trip is a big hair guy. Three, get off the apps. They perpetuate lazy dating habits. I'm with you on that. Four, find a farmer's market in Las Vegas and go weekly.
There you go.
That's a good move. I like that. And five, volunteer at a dog shelter. Wow. All right, Trip. Just trying to help out Greg, man. People give him advice. Jeff Levine, High Beams 45. He says, hysterical how the NBA playoffs looked more like MMA than basketball. Guys, please vote. What's more laughable/incongruous, NBA playoff contact or inability of NFL defensive backs from actually defending without a foul called? Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff in our sports that can frustrate.
Oh, totally.
By the way, I mentioned the Carolina Hurricanes were 16-3 in the playoffs. The New York Knicks were 16-3 in the playoffs. The New York Knicks were 16-3, and they were 15-1 of that down the stretch.
One last fun note from that series we didn't get to earlier. If you're an Atlanta Hawks fan out there, you had more playoff wins over the Knicks than the Sixers, Cavs, and Spurs combined.
Or stayed like that. Say that again. The Hawks had
more wins in this playoffs over the Knicks than the Sixers, Cavs, and Spurs combined. The power of the Atlanta Hawks
Atlanta's got to feel good heading into next year. Listener Lance. I like that he calls him Listener Lance. I have Georgia 18-1 and 40-1. Oklahoma to win the College World Series. I think it means Georgia 18-1 and Oklahoma 40-1 to win the College World Series. So they play each other. But not bad for this far along in the tournament. Georgia will win me $6K. Oklahoma will win me $4K. Both plays I got from listening to VSiN. I do not remember the guest or show I heard it on, but definitely heard it on VSiN. There you go, Listener Lance. May you get home.
Appreciate it, Lance.
Yeah,
cash those tickets.
Wes Reynolds joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. He joins us now here from somewhere in Las Vegas. Wes, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, fellas.
Any Wes Reynolds wisdoms about either the Stanley Cup playoff or Stanley Cup final or the NBA finals?
Well, I'm glad you're not asking me to give poor Greg any advice there, because I wouldn't be the one to ask. But I will defend Portland a little bit. That is the motto: keep Portland weird, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you find some committed gals that love the planet and love the environment, and you know, that's the way it is. That's what you'll find up there in Portland. It's actually a very cool city, despite the listeners feedback that you got there. But anyway, over to what we saw this week and start last night. I thought the better team did win. I thought Carolina was going to be the better team, and under finally came through for everybody that paid three or four times
right.
to finally get that bet come through. But credit to the Knights for making it as far as they did. Keep in mind, this team, I know that they had the most points in the Pacific Division. They only won 39 of their 82 games.
Yeah.
They had 17 games, which went into OT or a shootout that are called OTL in the column. So this team kind of got hot late in the season when they made the change to John Tortorella and probably went as far as they could. So I think they exceeded expectations. Carolina was the best team, or one of the best teams in the East really all year, and showed it very much last night. You know, it's kind of amazing, all these Southern teams now, and all these traditional non-hockey markets that are succeeding, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Florida Panthers. And you have all these long-suffering fans in Toronto that can't win a cup, or in some of these like original six markets. New York, it's been a while. So I find that at least kind of amusing there. But I feel no sorrow for New York as they are basking in the glow of the Knicks this morning.
It's, you know, it's an interesting point about hockey in the South, too, because I'm old enough to remember when, I want to say it was the Atlanta Flames were the first sort of Southern team in the NHL. Don't hold me to that, but I think it was the Atlanta Flames. Jim Craig, by the way, for the USA goalkeeper, who became their their goalkeeper, the goaltender.
Televised on the Superstation, the old Superstation.
Televised on the Superstation.
TBS.
And I was a kid, and I remember asking, like, a family friend who was into sports, I was like, wow, they're going to Atlanta? Like, I had at least the brain to ask that question at the time. And I remember him taking the scar out of his mouth and going, yeah, I don't know what the blank they're doing, you know, the NHL. And now here we are all these years later, and it's just this amazing dominant belt of NHL hockey. And I think you're completely right. I sort of said the same thing about the Vegas Golden Knights. We have a lot of friends. We live here, right? We have a lot of friends who love the Golden Knights. And yes, of course, they got wrapped up as any fan base would in this amazing run. But absolutely, you take a step back. I mean, they were 2 points away from not making it to the playoffs, right? Like, so great, mm-hmm. great run, all things considered.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah. So, you know, another non-traditional hockey market working here, right here yeah. in Las Vegas. I guess if you succeed, the fans will come. So it is good to see hockey, you know, kind of get its love a little bit. I thought it was a tremendous final. Would have been great to see it go seven, but unfortunately that was not to be.
We were talking a little bit about this off air, Wes. Are you betting the World Cup at all, or just for fun kind of thing?
But yeah, basically for fun and following people that I think are more engaged in the sport year round, because soccer is a year round sport, much like tennis is that you deal in every week, Gil. It's hard, I think, to follow all these leagues, like, you know, because there are leagues in like every single country. So it is hard to follow this. And, you know, I listen to people that I trust, and I'm betting it up a little bit for fun. And we were talking before we came on air during the break, how like kind of random and dumb sports betting can be, mm-hmm. because I'm actually doing okay in my World Cup bets. I'm not betting every match or anything like that, but I'm doing okay. And I don't consider myself to be on the higher end of the knowledge level of the sport of soccer, but you get randomness. Like I was talking about Netherlands, Japan, where I believe you hit the draw and I had Japan plus yep. a half a goal. And I was like, oh man, what was I doing? You know, what am I doing taking this? And then they score a goal, I think, in the 89th minute, the Japan team, to get a 2-2 draw. And that was fortunate. Some of these unders, man, I will tell you, with unders, people think hockey, you sweat unders, like with the empty netters and whatnot. In soccer, oh man, are these brutal if you're betting under 2.5, which I have done a couple times.
Yes.
I had Brazil, Morocco on Saturday, under 2.5. I'm like, how did that go under? Like there's no way that this match can go under. I mean, it's not like the Ivory Coast Ecuador match where it's like, well, why didn't I just bet the under and forget about it? Because the goal total is like 1.75, you know, almost juiced to the under. So it's like, why didn't I just do that? Because like it was like they may not score for like three matches if they played three times, these two teams, even though Ivory Coast got a late one. But yeah, look, the World Cup, I think, has been fun. It is fun to have something, by the way, at night if you're a late night watcher on
sure
the West Coast or something, starting at 7 or 8 o'clock Pacific time, and you get these matches. But I think the event has been fun. It seems like the cities have enjoyed it. And I do enjoy, I don't know if these are fake accounts, though. This is what worries me. If you've seen on X some of these Europeans that have come over here and they're like coming to America and they're enjoying, like there was this one guy from Germany, I think his name is Freddie, who has gone through the American South and is doing all this tourism stuff. He's like, this is awesome. You know, and is so excited. So like, you want to be like, oh my God, this is great. And then the cynicism that we now have in today's day and age, it's like, oh man, is this real? Or is this guy just engagement farming? So it's like Santa Claus, man. You want to believe, you got to keep believing.
It is. That's such a good point. Yeah. I hate that we live in a period now. And by the way, this is like brand new that this is a thing, right? We normalize already, but it's like the last 3, 4, 6 months tops where it's like, you don't even know what's real and what's not anymore.
Yeah, my favorite part of these events, too. Yeah. Like, I was texting you last week. Some guy in Boston taking a video outside his house because they had Airbnb across the street. The Scottish fans had showed up for it. The Scottish fans all over the house. And they're playing bagpipes outside at 6 a.m. to wake up the neighborhood. Like, it's so awesome to see.
And just before we go to break, because we'll talk golf with Wes on the other side. But Wes has said, I said it last week, sports betting. Those who don't admit this, they haven't done it long enough or they're lying. Sometimes you can grind out in sports that you're expert in. You can have futures that are great numbers that end in heartbreak. But then you bet something silly like a draw in a soccer game you have no idea about and it hits, and it's just sports betting.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
We had tweets beating the book. Kevin Cochran bet the Rangers yesterday based solely on the fact that the Red Sox were 0-9 on the season on Sundays coming into it. Needless to say, the Red Sox are now 0-10 on Sundays. We're doing that now. 0-10 on Sundays. Who knew? Now I know. Terry Elkins met my wife in the back room of Walmart. The back room? What?
Oh, whoa.
I never mentioned that we both worked there. She hates it. I make it sound a little nefarious. That's great. Nice job, Terry. Met her in the back room. Chance Copperpot. I think I missed it. Did listeners tweet negative things about Portland? Not really. It was people from Portland saying, yeah, we're weird.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all. Greg said he loved it, and then we had others chime in, yeah.
Chance didn't wait for it. He didn't wait for the clarification. He goes, it's all true. The food is terrible. The people are mean. The weather is bad. The airport sucks, and the forest smells like maple syrup. Oh, there he goes. I definitely didn't choose to move here. Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us for a second segment. Wes Reynolds won the number one. He's got a college baseball play coming up, and we'll, of course, talk U.S. Open with him. Last thing about the basketball or golf, what we talked about last segment, you are watching a whole bunch of morning shows, and the Knicks are making their rounds, and you said what about them?
Yeah, these guys, it's a good thing they have sunglasses on, because the ones that don't look like they're on another planet right now. I guess they've done Good Morning America. I just happen to have the Today Show on in the background, and they're doing their rounds. So I guess it's a good thing they had a day in between. But look, I don't want to hate on the Knicks. Maybe I do because I'm a Pacer fan, and there's that old Hicks versus Knicks rivalry from the 90s. So hopefully the Pacers get back to the final, get redemption next year. But Jalen Brunson, I think last year, you know, because we live in this hot take environment, right, or whatever that show is called, Hot Take, and I think it was the former Duke guard, former Bulls guard, Jason Williams, that said Jalen Brunson's the greatest all-time Knick. This was last year, by the way. And he had said that, and it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, he's got to win a little something before you consider that. But damned if he didn't do it over the weekend,
yep.
Gil.
Sure did.
I think you're putting him up. Jalen Brunson, I think you got to put him up there if Willis Reed as the greatest all-time Knick. When you win the first championship in 53 years, and, you know, they're a rival, and I didn't want to see him win, even though OG is a fellow Indiana Hoosier. But one of the things I did want after the game that did amuse me in watching this run, I wanted like a live stream from Mariska Hargitay from Law and Order, who is one of the celebrities that are at that courtside, because her and Jalen Brunson are like homies, like they're friends. And she was just going crazy after they won game four. She was like living and dying as Taylor Swift is sitting next to her, just feeding her margaritas. And she is just loving life right now. Still looks great, by the way, at 62. I have to give her that. But, you know, congrats to the Knicks. But I just think it was like the Spurs. They weren't ready for the smoke. Like, they weren't ready for the moment, I don't think. And maybe a young team like that needs to go through the pain. You know, players and coach, you know, including Wemby, who is up and down in the series, and Mitch Johnson, who did not maybe make the best tactical decisions in the series. But I think the Spurs and the Thunder, even though this ended in disappointment, they're going to be at the top of the Western Conference for several years to come. So they will be back. But one way to get back is maybe start Dylan Harper.
Yeah.
Like, he's your best guard. Yeah. Don't have him off the bench. Have him initiate your offense. Like, he's going to be a future all-star for many years to come. The kid's a great player. You know, go ahead and trust him a little bit.
Knicks deserve all of it. Hope they enjoy their every moment of their rounds and the parade and all that. They just an epic, epic playoff run for the New York Knicks. My buddy Jeff, who's also, he texted me, goes, most underrated part of the championship is that now a generation of Knicks fans right behind him, he says, no longer need to pretend that blanks like Stephon Marbury or Carmelo Anthony are beloved franchise luminaries. I think that is such a great comment. All right.
Starks gets moved up to the top, like the 600 level in the garden now.
That's right. Okay, college baseball. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. Alabama plays Texas in an elimination game here this morning. And then it is Oklahoma and Georgia, the winner of which will be in the Catbird seed in bracket two. You have a play in this game.
Yeah, I think both favorites, by the way, today, if you want to go run line. So that would be Texas over Alabama, and then Georgia over Oklahoma. It's -2.5 in that one. And you could see that the over's getting bet in both of these games because you don't have the aces on the mound, because everybody for their first game is going to put their big gun. Like Georgia had their big gun pitcher on Friday that had the Saturday that had the 15 strikeouts. So probably getting higher scoring games. I like Georgia here, and I've been riding Oklahoma. I bet them in the supers against Kansas, and they could put up a lot of runs, so they might get their fair share. But Georgia was dominant against Texas, who a lot of people thought was the sleeper coming into Omaha. I think Georgia gets away from them, so I did lay the 2.5 runs. I know we don't really do that in Major League Baseball, right? You know, if you're laying run line, it's always 1.5 and just the juice moves. But in college baseball, they move it to off-board runs, so you get some odd numbers. So Georgia minus 2.5 tonight in Omaha.
There you go. Okay. It's golf. RBC go okay for you?
No. As a matter of fact, that's why I'm enjoying the World Cup, to be honest with you. It's like, oh my God, this is what it's like to win bets, you know, in some of these other sports. But the RBC did not go well, and especially when it's a guy that you've bet a few times and hadn't gotten there, and then you don't bet him. You know, congrats to Bud Cauley, though. Bud Cauley, by the way, his first PGA Tour win in his mid-30s on the PGA Tour. This guy was like going to be a future star, and then he got into a bad car accident and missed basically a couple seasons. Like, he's been dealing with the repercussions of those injuries for years. So, you know, it was good to see him get home. I wish I was just aboard him at the RBC, but not my best tournament. So hopefully our national championship this weekend at the US Open goes better.
Yeah. Have we had more rando winners in the PGA Tour this year than most years?
Man, you know what, Gil? It's starting to feel like it a little bit. The one I'll say, and I feel like I've said this about a couple times, those tournaments of Wes, I thought that tournament and that course was getting real boring. At least Bud Cauley went out and won the thing. And it feels like we've said that a couple times this year, but Matt Fitzpatrick almost backed his way into another win somehow this year. But no, Bud Cauley, great back nine, going absolutely nuclear there at the beginning. Goes out and win it. Great story for golf. But yes, Gil, I think that that part of it is true and driving people like me and Wes a little nuts. Yeah.
And our guy James, who was leading after two rounds, trying to win his first tournament as a pro.
Yeah, he plummeted.
Jacked it on
Don't even
on
know
Saturday.
Where he finished. Brooks Koepka, yeah. Who Wes and I were both on and mentioned right away and this time last week. He looked great through two rounds and then terrible on Saturday and withdraw. See you later. I'm heading to the U.S. Open.
The old WD. Speaking of the U.S. Open, Wes, Shinnecock Hills. Scottie Scheffler plus 455, Rory McIlroy plus 950 to win, John Rahm plus 1025 at DraftKings. Everybody else 18-1 or longer. Long shots coming out tomorrow with you and the boys, Kelly and Matt Brown. What are your preliminary thoughts?
That this is going to be very, very hard, and it always is at Shinnecock. And I believe if you go back the last time that the U.S. Open has been at Shinnecock, I think it's been held there like four times since Ray Floyd won it in 1986. And there were like three players, by the way, in those four U.S. Opens that finished under par at the U.S. Open where they had an under par winning score. So
I love
it's going to be tough.
Love it's these kinds of tournaments. This is what I live for with golf. Yes.
I do too. It's going to be very much like Oakmont last year, you know, maybe not with the weather playing such a factor, but this is going to be hard. This is going to be a Northeast course, thick, rough, narrow fairways, super fast greens. So yeah, if you like grinder golf, this is for you.
Are we going to have, because there's supposed to be a big wind on Friday. Now I know it's Monday, you know how weather reports go, weather forecasts go. But right now, as we sort of look at this, is this going to be one of these tournaments where we kind of have to wait till Wednesday to figure out if this is going, you know, okay, it's Wednesday now, we can sort of solidify wind is going to be a big deal. And let's say we figure it out that it's going to be the afternoon on Friday. I'm not sure if that's the case, but let me just give that as an example. And then bet accordingly based on who's playing early that day, sort of thing, late Thursday, early Friday.
That's a little bit what I'm going to be doing. Obviously, you know, having to do long shots on Tuesday and then putting out the column, I'll have some selections in there, but it might not be a full card because of that. And especially if you're betting first round leader, don't rush to bet it. Like, don't worry about the number because people can be number snobs. It's like, well, you could have had that at 75-1, but you still cash a 50-1 ticket. Like, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, I missed the best number. So what? I just cast something 50-1 on a first round leader. So I would definitely wait on that to see, you know, if there's an AM PM bias, which there sometimes is with the wind is a little bit more calm in the morning. So, that is something I will definitely do, but, looking forward to it. This is always my favorite major because it is so hard. And because it is such a grinder and you're having these guys just have to fight for their lives and make like bogey saves just to be on this. And I like that. I don't like guys when they shoot 15 under in a major. So
like,
give me the chaos and the carnage.
I want one person under par.
You might not even get that this week.
Or not that at all. I can't wait. Wes, appreciate it as always. Long shots tomorrow with Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown coming out tomorrow for the U.S. Open. Appreciate it, Wes. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Coming back, a little heat check on some MLB awards and Adam Burke to follow on A Numbers Game.